Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome to the voice of the American Redoubt. I am John Jacob Schmidt, and if you're a God-fearing, liberty-minded patriot, my name is your name too. Thank you so much for joining us on this beautiful, beautiful day in the American Redoubt. It is getting to be like spring weather, and it has been like spring weather for the last 2 months. We've gotten spoiled this year. Of course, the Californians aren't too happy about that because they've got a drought that they're dealing with. We're going to be talking about a lot of things that folks are having to deal with right now as our nation enters this next phase of God's judgment because of our behavior. And we just pray for his mercy over his remnant and hope that we can be salt and light in these times that we are facing. So that's what we're doing, and that's what we are here to do here at the Voice of the American Redoubt, is to offer encouragement and hope and truth and hopefully motivate you to action as God-fearing, liberty-minded patriots concerned about the direction that your country's headed. So we're going to do our best, and I am being put to the test here. Going to find out what I'm made of. My helpmate, my Proverbs 31 wife, called me while I was on my way to the studio screaming, "You left your notes right there on the way out the door." And there's several things that we are going to be covering. There is just a maelstrom going on over in Idaho over this H.R. 1067 bill that was supposedly designed to protect families, but really it opens up the state of Idaho and all 50 states to being subjected to foreign courts, governments, and quasi-judicial systems. And the Republicans said, no, this is not going to happen here. And the left is just going berserk right now. So we're going to cover that, and we're going to expose some of the yellow journalism, which is exactly what it is, that some of the ilk, like the Spokesman Review, the Spokesman Deceiver, and the Coeur d'Alene Pravda is putting out. And we're going to talk about, several things. Mrs. Schmidt, my helpmate, she texted me, she took a picture and texted to me the main key points, my notes. But that's not all we're going to talk about. There's actually several things. And if we can get Pastor Hadian on the line, he is the tip of the spear in this fight. And wow, is he under attack by the militant left in the media, those who are trying to exercise the psychological aspects of this war over the minds of the masses with their misinformation in their media. So we're going to talk about that. The number is 1-877-999-7684. And for our listeners that are listening outside of the coverage of KTW 630 AM in North Idaho and Eastern Washington, tell them they can also tune in a couple of different ways. They can always go to radiofreeredoubt.com on the right-hand side and click on the banner there for the John Jacob Schmidt Show on KTW. You can also go to acn.cc and click on that bell. That will take you to the Liberty Broadcasting System. You can listen to live streaming there. And also, both of those places that I just gave you will show you how to get the app so you can listen on the go on your mobile device. I got a really awesome treat. This is just really cool stuff. Somebody took a video of their kids. I'm not going to share it because of persec reasons, you know, personal security, the kids' faces and their personal family YouTube channel. There are kids in the back, in the car seats and in the back of this minivan. And it's the beginning of Radio Free Redoubt. And they're singing along to it. They're doing the countdown. Radio Free Redoubt starts in 5, 4. And they're, you know, once the music starts, they're bouncing around and going like crazy. Like it was a little, one of those little bouncy ball castles inside the minivan. And little John Jacob Schmitz. My name is your name too. That's awesome. Raising the next generation aware. And this was his testimony. My kids... not all of them are in car seats, just one was. But he's raising these young children aware of what's going on in the world in a gentle way, as much as you can do with a, you know, a 5, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old kid. But the world that we're living in is forcing us to have to confront issues that a 7-year-old shouldn't have to when it's thrust in front of us all the time. So there's some things that you just shouldn't have to talk to your kids about, like, daddy, what does gay mean? And what's LGBT? And what's wrong with Islam and all of the stuff that we're trying to have to talk to our kids about? So it's just always encouraging to me to see parents out there that are trying to raise up godly offspring in the world that we're living in. There's so many biblical examples of people that have gone before us and have had to do the same thing in times when it was just evil, evil. And that's what we're seeing today. So that was a treat. I just think it's cool getting that kind of stuff. Now, if you want to also go where you can be further encouraged and educated, the Lower Valley Assembly in Prosser, Washington, this would be on May 2nd. It's going to be a one-day event. It's called the Rattlesnake Rendezvous. There's going to be several speakers there and vendors to help you become more self-reliant and educate you on the issues of today and things that you can do about it. And hopefully, when you walk away, you will be encouraged and you'll also have a plan of action, because there's all kinds of people pointing to the problems. There's few people offering solutions, and a lot of the solutions are out of your control. You can do nothing about our broken economy. Even if you do hear the solution, it's something that you have no control over, right? Well, we want to focus on the things that you do have control over. You, your family, your community, your church, and those that you do have influence over. That's going to be taking place at the Rattlesnake Rendezvous and Patriot Gathering in Prosser, Washington, May 2nd. Go to radioforreadout.com to learn more. You can click on that banner. A great lineup of speakers. It was put out also that Fox 519, that you'll be hearing from here in just a little bit, was supposed to also speak on the eye on the economy and give you some plans of action for... being prepared and being self-reliant economically, but there was a family situation that came up and he will likely not be able to be there. But Representative Matt Shea will be there. I will be there. I will be speaking. Who else? There's several. I don't have the whole lineup right in front of me, but I shot that out in an email and it is posted on the website. So if you have any questions, give me an email or send me an email at johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com. And to answer probably the two top questions, yes, there is dry camping available. You'll want to email them ahead let them know that you're coming. Just shoot me an email, johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com. I'll put you in contact with the organizers and they can help you get set up there. The second question is, what's the cost? There is no cost to you to attend or to the vendors. They are asking for donations at the event to help cover some of the costs, like, you know, liability insurance. They're going to bring some porta-johns in and some other logistical things. And if you're blessed by it, they ask that you help support it. But they don't want anybody to be turned away because for economic reasons. So, financial reasons. And why is it the Rattlesnake Rendezvous? There are not rattlesnakes all over the place there. That is referring to the Gadsden flag. There is one rattlesnake there, and it's on the flag. Don't tread on me. So that's kind of the theme there. Okay, Now, I do have a few notes that I was able to throw together, and then we're going to piecemeal this. This is going to be interesting. This is a fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants kind of a show, but it'll be fun. And besides that, we're all friends, right? So this is how I try to talk to people. Like, how would I talk to a friend of mine about the issues going on today, the things that concern me, to discuss these things? And that's how I try to talk to you. So I don't worry about being all polished and smooth. I just want to talk to you like a regular guy from the heart that's concerned about what's going on in our country. Because I get to look into your guys' eyes when I meet you, when I talk to you, when I hear from you. And there's a lot to be concerned about. But there's also hope. There's our hope is in him, not man. Not me, not any patriot leader, not any clergy. In him. But we do need to gather together to edify the church, to encourage one another. We are called to do that. Spread the gospel and be salt and light. And then in these times, pray for his hand of protection over his remnant. Amen? Okay, let's get on with this. Let's get into the news and commentary to help with your situational awareness so you can be informed, make informed decisions, and understand some of the issues that we're up against. Let's go international first. Across the big pond, an Iranian ship convoy is moving toward Yemen. Now, we've been talking about this last couple of weeks. Now, why? Because it has nothing to do with so far away from the American redoubt. Who cares? Well, we should be caring as aware Christian patriots about what's going on in the world. The U.S. military officials are concerned that Iran's support for the Houthi rebels in Yemen could spark a confrontation with Saudi Arabia and plunge the region into sectarian war. Not just sectarian war, but this could overflow into so many other things. Iran is sending an armada of 7 to 9 ships, some with weapons, toward Yemen in a potential attempt to resupply the Shia Houthi rebels, according to 2 U.S. defense officials. Officials fear that the move could lead to a showdown with the U.S. or other members of a Saudi-led coalition, which is going on right now. They're enforcing a naval blockade of Yemen, and they're also conducting its fourth week of airstrikes against the Houthis, which has got the Iranians all cranked up. And incidentally, this week, Iran's army marked a day with it was their army day with cries of death to Israel and death to the U.S. And this is going on at the same time when we have diplomats, Kerry, heading over there representing the United States and official policy, facilitating the continuing development of their nuclear program. What could possibly go wrong, right? So they're going to get us in trouble. They're going to get the whole world in trouble. But there's so many things that are brush fires around the country. That's just one thing. But that is one thing that we should be paying attention to closely. What's next here? Back at home, here's a couple of things. You know, our military is under assault. You know that in the last 5 years, there's been the largest purging of senior military personnel in the history of our military. They're getting rid of anyone who doesn't toe the line, anyone who's not on board with the global agenda or the leftist agenda, globalist, communist, atheistic, God-hating agenda, and they're using our military as the guinea pig for that. All the way down to the volunteer elements, Civil Air Patrol just released its new uniform policies. They're making some changes, one of which they're going to eliminate the wearing of the American flag patch from their uniform. Get rid of it. They say it's too expensive. A $3 patch on your uniform is too expensive. I'm going to move on. They also clarified insignia for adult members without grade and approved Oh, they reapproved the NRA marksmanship badge for cadets. And the best part, they're adding the Muslim crescent and the Buddhist wheel of life to their uniforms for the chaplain corps. Well, I could see that because they're purging out all of the Christians from our military. So they got to replace them with someone. And now they even have atheist chaplain members. Atheist. Wrap your mind around that. An atheist chaplain. Son, let me sit down and not pray with you. Let's hope that there is no God that will protect you as you go into battle. Think good thoughts and let the universe's energy flow. I mean, what the heck is an atheist clergy, chaplain? Anyway, I'm shaking my head. You know, I always say nothing surprises me, but I'm still... What do you do? Chaplain Corps. And it's in line with the trend that we're seeing unfolding. The Department of Defense has a training program that they are teaching our service members that the Bible, the Constitution, and the Declaration of Independence all contribute to sexism. Is that something? Let's cover this. Where is this story? There it is. Right there in front of myself. And you can go to Freedom Outpost to check this out for yourself. But here's the slideshow. And they since, once this got out and went viral, they pulled it down. Scramble, right? Hurry, get this thing off the internet. We're going to take heat for this. Because they're saying that quotes from the Bible can be misinterpreted as having a sexist influence when brought out of context and not fully understood. The great man theory, the United States Constitution in 1776, we the people, only included white men. Slaves and women were not included until later in history. The United States Declaration of Independence, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Which, of course, only pertain to white men. But see, that's the rewriting of our history. Many, if not most, of our founders were very opposed to slavery. But they also had a bigger bear clawing at their backs, and that was the British government. So they had to choose their battles. And the guys that even were opposed to slavery decided, you know what we're going to do? We're going to fight the British, and then we're going to fight this slavery issue later, because it's something that we've got to deal with. And they did. In fact, many of those Christian men, those white Christian men, made sure that blacks could earn their freedom by fighting against the British. And many of them did. They were opposed to it. They were bored. It was abhorrent to them. But they don't talk about that part. No, we're just going to talk about how sexist. And here this article goes on. Does this really come into people's thinking when they read these things? It never has entered my mind when I have read any of these documents. What happened next is similar to other things the Obama administration has done in the past when they got caught with their hands in the cookie jar, like the evangelical Christian topping the list of potential terrorists ahead of the Muslim Brotherhood. Do you remember that from a couple weeks ago? Obama and his cronies had a domestic terrorist think tank summit. And they came out of there declaring that the biggest threat to the United States, well, the biggest threat to the United States, of course, is climate change. Climate change. Thus, the official declaration of this administration is the biggest national security threat the United States faces is climate change. You want to talk about a cult? Climate change. But the largest organization, group, body of people, ideologies, well, it's the Christian right. It is the extreme right wing is the biggest threat. Way down there on the list below ISIS, despite the fact that ISIS now has camps in Mexico. That's from Judicial Watch. Matter of fact, codename Poly01. Can you get that? Can you pull that article up from Judicial Watch and add that to our highlights and resources for this show? And we're going to talk about that a little bit. We're going to talk about some more things when we come back. This is the Voice of the American Readout. Stay right there.
As our president gets on TV with the Italian president and says that everything is okay and the crisis has passed, the clock is quickly counting down for Greece as May 9th approaches. This is your Saturday edition of Eye on the Economy, brought to you by Radio Free Readout and the PrepperRecon.com store. Markets yesterday took a huge tumble as the eyes of the world looked at Greece and cringed. The Dow was down 275, NASDAQ down 75, and the S&P was down 23 points. And, well, the root cause? Well, most would say it's the Greeks and their potential exit of the euro on May 9th. Greece currently needs about 1.7 billion euros to pay pensions and wages in the country by the end of April, and an additional billion for repayments to the International Monetary Fund by May 12th. The situation wasn't helped Friday at all when the comments of the German finance minister and the Belgian finance minister both saying that they will not give in to Greece's demands and they would stand strong in the face of talks to resume again in about a week's time. Let me be clear. If we meet the May 9th date and Greece defaults, it would mean huge problems for the financial markets, and the gains we saw take place in the past year would be eradicated quickly. Listen each week as I bring you the financial news and commentary that matters to your pocketbook as patriots and preppers. This has been your Eye on the Economy Minute with me, Fox 519.
You're listening to John Jacob Schmidt at 630 kilohertz on KTRW Spokane.
Thank you for joining us. Thank you for sticking around. I just lost my microphone. Thank you for being with us. And thank you for your prayers and your support if you're just joining us late. I just went into the break talking about ISIS being south of the border in the United States. There's a ton of stuff going on. We're continuing to develop a nationwide information sharing radio emergency disaster preparedness network for radio operators called AMRON, the American Readout Radio Operators Network, to include the sharing of intelligence, news, and information. You can learn more by going to AMRON.com. That's spelled AMRRON.com. And in fact, we were a little busy this week, which is why I was not able to get a podcast out last Sunday evening. I got a phone call from a legislator saying we've got a situation developing in Oregon where we've got the BLM is trying to take property without going through the due process of the law. And this is a reminiscent of a Bundy Ranch type of situation, which happened just 1 year ago, where the BLM tried to take property without due process from a rancher. And a very similar situation is ongoing right now, but the BLM has stood down. We had AMRON core operators alerted last week who were providing regional communication support. Bless their hearts. And a group of Oath Keepers locally done a great job of securing the scene. Now what we're trying to do is get assembled for them to allow the, a higher authority, the Coalition of Western States of legislators, clergy, sheriffs, other elected officials to stand together for that that spiritual, moral, and legal covering for those concerned citizens who are standing in the gap between the BLM and these miners. So we'll bring you furthering developments on that. It's still an ongoing situation, but just to let you know, it is not a standoff situation. But the BLM says that they're not going to take any action until this plays out, which is a different tune than what they were whistling last week. They were talking about raising the cabins to the ground because they can't move them. That means burning. And confiscating the equipment. And I'm going to cover that in just a little bit. A lot of stuff going on. We also have some Amron operators with their ears perked up along the southern border, and we've got a lot of patriots down there, listeners in Arizona and Texas, who are watching the situation very closely because Judicial Watch broke this story this week where ISIS has camps and they're conducting activity south of the border with the cartel. Obviously, this is cartel-held territory, so they're not going to do anything without the cartel. So if they're working together, that's a 100,000-man army with no souls right at the southern part below our border. And this was an update. FBI holds a special meeting in Juarez to address ISIS. DHS not invited. Yes. Well, they'll just screw it up. Responding to Judicial Watch's report earlier this week of ISIS activity along the Mexican border, Federal Bureau of Investigation supervisors called a special meeting at the U.S. consulate in, I can never pronounce this, Ciudad Juarez. I know I'm pronouncing the first part wrong. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm Scottish. I speak English. Okay, but this is just this. I can't tell you how tickled I am that DHS is not included in any of this, because it's going to cost five times as more. It's going to take 10,000 more people to get nothing done. I have way more faith in the FBI, although I'm concerned about this administration taking control of it and have Muslim Brotherhood in the White House overseeing our judicial department. I mean, Department of Justice. There's all kinds of problems there. That's a different show. A high-level intelligence source who must remain anonymous, please do so for safety reasons, confirmed that the meeting was convened specifically to address a press strategy to deny Judicial Watch's accurate reporting and identify who is providing information to Judicial Watch. Where are they getting their information from? Who's leaking it? The FBI supervisory personnel met with Mexican army officers and Mexican federal police officials, according to Judicial Watch's intelligence source, and the FBI liaison officers regularly assigned to Mexico were not present at the meeting. And conspicuously absent were representatives from the Department of Homeland Security. It's not clear why DHS did not participate. I'll tell you why. They don't want them there. So, I would love to have been a mouse in the corner for that meeting. The FBI meets with the Mexican military to have a little discussion about ISIS. And there's corruption all through the Mexican military as well, in these cartel-held areas. Very interesting development. So, we're going to continue to follow that. Also, something else kind of strange, if you did not notice this week, what is up with all the Walmarts closing? If you didn't hear about that, there's Walmart stores from Texas to Florida closing for up to 6 months, abruptly, no notice. Employees showed up for work and they said, "We're shutting the store. And have a nice afternoon. And by the way, we're going to pay your full pay for 2 months. Then after that, you can reapply at one of the other stores or find another job." Now, some folks are trying to point to a couple of different possibilities. One, they're saying these are the stores where they had protests, employee protests for minimum wage hikes. So this could be retribution against the employees who threatened to shut down the store by walking off the job until they got their pay raise. Well, actually, Walmart has my sympathies in that area. I've always disagreed with holding a private company hostage by harming them financially because you want more. When you took the job, full knowing what it paid, and then you start grumbling. Find another job. Anyway, that's one possibility. On the other hand, folks are pointing to Jade Helm, this Operation Jade Helm, with the special operations training going on across the South this summer. Other folks are pointing to the arrangement that Walmart has with the Department of Homeland Security. Now, I don't have documentation on this. I'm going to do some homework and studying. I know there was a discussion a while back on the internet between some independent journalists that were trying to expose or get details on the arrangement that Walmart has with Department of Homeland Security as a resupply distribution point in the event of a massive catastrophic disaster in the United States. Do they know something we don't? So anyway, this is very interesting. This would be like 20 McDonald's all closing because of plumbing issues. And we're going to be down for 6 months at least with no warning, no notice. I mean, you just don't shut down a McDonald's, right? You don't shut down a Walmart. Does not just close its doors. Something is amiss and I can't quite put my finger on it. But interesting, isn't it? Okay, I want to remind you also, in case you have questions or comments, input, or constructive feedback, you can call me at 1-877-999-7684. Now, let's talk about this situation in Bend, Oregon. And then, hopefully, in the third segment, I was hoping to be able to get Pastor Hadian on the line. He's over in Western Washington right now, spreading the gospel, encouraging the body over there, and being salt and light over in hostile territory. So lift him up in prayer. And hopefully we'll be able to talk about that in the third segment. But right now I want to talk about the situation in Oregon. Because, hey, what if these guys are wrong? What if the BLM is right and there's the rules and there's the laws and these guys aren't following it? That could be, right? We don't know. Or the miners could be right and the BLM could be completely out of line. So what do you do? It's like nobody really seems to like, dang, well, how do you resolve this? You know what? There's a thing that we have in our country called courts. But when you have someone trying to take someone's property, saying, yeah, you broke the rules, we're going to come and take your stuff, we're going to burn your cabins down, you have until the 25th of April to comply. So here's your cease and desist order, because we own all the rights on the surface. You only own what's below the surface. And you say, you're wrong, actually. That is not what all this legal paperwork says. So we're going to go to court, but the BLM wants to come and take all your stuff before you can go to court and make your case. That's what's happening. What they are doing is they are threatening to seize property without due process, which we are guaranteed in the Constitution of the United States. So, last Friday, I got a call from an Amron Corps operator, a radio operator, who is a member of the local Oath Keepers there as well. These miners felt like they had nowhere to turn to because they couldn't get their court date set before the deadline when they were going to have their equipment confiscated. They went to the Oath Keepers and they pled their case and they said, we don't know where else to turn. Will you help us? The Oath Keepers group said, yes, absolutely, we will. And so they started putting out emails. I got this call from an Amron operator. I said, let me contact some people. At the same time, I had other folks contacting me from various different Liberty for All, from legislators, saying we need some communication support in case they cordon off the area there. We want to make sure that what's truly happening down there, the information is getting out without being filtered or controlled. So it's a communications black hole there. Could you support it? So we did. In the meantime, the lawyers have discussed the situation with the BLM, and the BLM have backed down, supposedly. But here's the problem. The BLM, the Bureau of Land Management, has a bad track record. They have bad credit. with the American people. Because we saw with the Bundy Ranch situation some of the underhanded things that they did to leverage pressure on a rancher. And, of course, the narrative, which was being controlled by the BLM and the helpful media, were saying, well, he didn't pay his grazing fees, doggone it, the guy's a freeloader, and so I don't feel bad for him. But then we find out there's more to the story. We're finding out that we're only being told half-truths. And the American citizen said, this cannot stand. Armed American citizens that came from all over the country to stand there to make sure that due process was followed and carried out. Representatives, elected officials, sheriffs, and all manner of leadership from various different patriot organizations and coalitions gathered together to stand, and the BLM backed down. But it was after that, and I exposed this, things started coming to light. That's when we found out that that is in Senator Harry Reid's jurisdiction. And he's calling them terrorists. These aren't patriots. These are terrorists. These are domestic terrorists, he says. They should get off that land. This ain't over, right? Talking tough. Then we find out that Harry Reid, Senator Harry Reid's own son, and Harry Reid's former aide were directly involved in a multi-billion dollar deal with the Chinese to put a massive solar field out there on where? All the land that they've been confiscating from the ranchers in Nevada. And Mr. Bundy was the last holdout. He was the fly in their ointment. He's the one that they had to get rid of. So they tried everything from, oh, water rights. Oh, that didn't work out. Oh, they defeated us on that one. There's a salamander out there. Oh, the desert tortoise. Okay, well, that one kind of got crushed too. Well, you didn't pay your fees. And so the BLM has no credibility. So when they come to take a miner and he says, whoa, whoa, wait, I've got all the documentation right here that says I own this, and this goes back to the 1800s. And you're trying to take my property and you're changing ownership rules with nothing to back it up. The Sugar Pine Mine was the first hard rock mine discovered in the state of Oregon. It was discovered in 1858. Now, today, the Sugar Pine Mine also includes several other neighboring claims. The Blackjack Mine, discovered in 1900, all of this. Now, under federal law, mining claims which have chains of title that predate July 23rd, 1955, have surface rights. Unless the owner relinquished them or conveyed them back to the government, as outlined in the 1955 Surface Resources Act, also known as the Multiple Use Act, under U.S. Code 612, Title 30. Now, in November of 1969, the BLM was required to obtain a right-of-way easement across the Sugar Pine Mine because the agency does not have surface management authority. The BLM's claim is that they actually control the surface of the Sugar Pine Mine, despite the fact that they have refused to produce a single legal document to prove their surface rights authority when they were sent a Freedom of Information Act request. Now, it's federal law. You must respond and comply with a Freedom of Information Act request. The BLM has refused the request to produce certain documents pertaining to the Sugar Pine Mine that are public records. To date, they've sent 14 Freedom of Information Act requests to three BLM offices in the state of Oregon, despite the fact that they are required by federal law to produce those records. BLM has not complied with those laws. They've not fulfilled their obligation under federal law regarding any of the Freedom of Information Act requests. So they're saying, that's our land. They're saying, prove it. And they can't. They say, hey, get off. Well, prove it. This is our land. No, you got till the 25th to get off the property, or we're coming in to take it. They said that the reason they're not vacating the Sugar Pine mine, and they are continuing to occupy the mine and have requested protection of their property from private groups like the Oath Keepers and militias and 3% groups and other concerned citizens, with huge support from the community, bringing them food, supplies, volunteers, despite the cease and desist order from the BLM. This is something. The people are standing up once again. These incidents are going to get more and more frequent. We've got to get organized. We need legitimate leadership on the ground now. I'm going to finish that up when we get back in a minute.
When disaster strikes, it's too late to prepare. PrepperRecon.com offers MOLLE-compatible individual first aid kits for your home, auto, or bug-out bag. These kits have everything you need to address a traumatic injury, including an Israeli battle dressing, quick clot, EMT shears, suture kit, Steri-Strips, tourniquet, ACS chest seal, tough strip bandages, gauze, and so much more. Kits are available in OD Green, Coyote, Black, and ACU. $89 include shipping. To buy your individual first aid kit, go to PrepperRecon.com and click the store tab at the top of the homepage. Order today before it's too late.
Mark Twain shared this insight. He said, "In the beginning of a change, the patriot is a scarce man, brave, hated, and scorned. When his cause succeeds, however, the timid join him, for then it costs nothing to be a patriot." He's right. But now, more than ever, we cannot afford brave patriots to be a scarcity. They must be found in abundance. There may soon come a time when being a patriot without cost will be all but impossible. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
Lenin put it this way: "It does not matter if three-quarters of mankind is destroyed. All that counts is that the last quarter is communist." Lenin spoke, communist world domination.
They can call us renegades all they want. We don't care. We're going to stand for truth, and we're going to stand side by side. We're going to stand for liberty, and we're going to stand for Americanism, you and me. So thank you for being here, everybody. My name is John Jacob Schmidt, and you know what? So is yours. So that's created a few problems, actually. We had a Patriot event last summer, and they wanted everybody wearing name tags so we could get to know each other, and everybody's running around wearing John Jacob Schmidt. And they're like, I caused that problem. We'll try to fix that. Can you put your code name, your Amron code name on there or something? so we can really tell each other apart, but I don't know. It's catching. It's catchy. Let's talk about this mining situation here. Now, let me take you back to before the break. We were talking about the incident in Bundy Ranch, where we find out that there's actually very nefarious motives with the Chinese working deals with, you can call them traitors. I wouldn't call Harry Reader a traitor because he hasn't been convicted yet. But we could say the alleged traitor, Harry Reid. I mean, the evidence is pretty overwhelming. And that's just one example of strong indicators of treasonous activity. Let's say it that way. But remember, the BLM, a couple weeks ago, I covered this organization that's come in as a consulting firm. And I'm trying to find this because I just thought about it during the break. This consulting firm is brought in to help these different counties set up their disaster mitigation plans. And all over this wording is climate change. When they come in to assess your area, what are you at the most high risk of? Forest fires, flooding, tornado, earthquake, all of these go into this assessment for these to be eligible for federal grant money in response to disasters. All kinds of free stuff. And in order to qualify for that free stuff, free sugar for the people at the county disaster emergency offices, they have to have a disaster mitigation plan. This disaster mitigation plan has to meet certain requirements for FEMA to approve of it in order to get funds. And to make sure that you make sure you cross all your T's and dot all your I's, you don't want to mess it up, right? So you bring in a consultant. And you bring in this consultant who's going to help you word this properly. And these consulting firms are bringing in boilerplate disaster mitigation programs that have climate change all over them. Now, this particular, oh my goodness, I've got to find it. I've talked about it before. Where is it? It's the consulting firm that's helping out. I almost said something else. Oh man, it's going to drive me nuts because this consulting firm, they're part of a major company, a major corporation that has global reach. The people who sit on the board of directors, no, let me back up. This consulting firm, I'm going to put it on our website unless I can get Polly01 to shoot that to me. If she's still available, if somebody could shoot that to me, that'd be great. Just email it to me. In the meantime, I'm going to scramble and try to find it myself and talk and chew gum at the same time. So this consulting firm, as it turns out, after further investigation, but a wonderful, wonderful partisan who has done so much great work in the way of research, she discovered that this group also has major contracts and influence over the BLM. The Bureau of Land Management is being used as thugs for this other agenda to grab land, control land, push people off land. This consulting firm is responsible for... No, let me back up. The consulting firm's board of directors is made up of the executive of Monsanto and the executive of Coeur d'Alene Mines, who work with the BLM on massive mining projects. Now, all of a sudden we've got the BLM trying to push gold miners off of a mine in a district, the Gallus Mining District, where it is estimated that only 10 to 14% of the gold in that district has been harvested to date. That means there is I can't even say a ton of gold. Who knows how many tons of gold are sitting there unharvested? And you got the BLM trying to run miners off the oldest mine using reasons that are not legal. They're not giving these people due process. They're claiming ownership of something where all the documentation that's been provided so far shows they do not have any rights to it. Not even the surface rights, because it was never relinquished to them. So the BLM are being used, apparently, allegedly, as thugs to drive these people off their mining claim. Because even though you own the opening and you own everything underneath, but you can't get to it because the BLM owns the surface, they're claiming. Which means they cut off the roads. You can't have any equipment brought in there. You can't access it. And then, you abandoned your mining claim. Or, you know what? We'll just make it easy for you and we know how hard it is. This must be worth probably, we'll give you $100,000 for, I'm just making this up. We'll give you $50,000. We'll give you $100,000. We'll give you whatever. We'll buy out your claim because we know how difficult it is for you to reach your mining claim because of this unfortunate situation that's happened. We cannot trust these people. They don't have a good track record. This administration, there's so much anti-Americanism going on, unconstitutional actions, sneaky backdoor deals that we discover all the time. How can we trust them? Well, we stand by those. We stand by those people that are standing in the gap right now and making sure that those folks, if they leave, then you run into town to grab a gallon of milk and come back, your stuff's gone. You left it unattended. BLM's waiting to take it. They're not going to take it by force at this point. So what we've got to do is we've got to rally around people like this. And that's where we're going to call for legitimate leadership to be involved. And in fact, the Coalition of Western States is ready and poised. But there's something going on because there's somebody holding them at bay for whatever reason. We can't figure it out yet. But that's what's going to be necessary for this next phase in order to be successful, where people are ready to bring legislative, legal, prayer, tactical, all the support that you need for something like this to succeed. Because right now, shame on the Fusion Center, the Department of Homeland Security Fusion Center. Thank you, by the way. By the way, we also have patriots on the inside, and God bless you guys for being there. Who sent this officer safety alert to me that was distributed throughout the Fusion Center recipients, warning them of this massive militia buildup. These are armed citizens. These are concerned citizens. These are citizens who are in the right. It is their duty to stand against tyranny. This is tyrannous when you steal someone's land without due process. When you steal their property, it is unconstitutional. It's a direct violations of the Fourth and the Fifth Amendments. But the Fusion Center in Oregon, it's called the Titan Fusion Center, put out a warning to law enforcement. And fortunately, there are God-fearing, liberty-minded police officers that on their own time are going to volunteer and help with those citizens with logistics and running radios and bringing food, shuttling people back and forth and helping them out so that they maintain a presence there. So this is an ongoing situation. We'll keep you posted as it does develop. Now, there's something else, too, I wanted to briefly touch on, and this is where I was hoping to be able to get Pastor Hadian on. Because the Coeur d'Alene Pravda and the spokesman Smear View has been attacking Pastor Hadian because he brought some things to the attention over this Senate Bill 1067 in Idaho. Remember last week we had Representative Matt Shea on. They defeated this in Washington, leftist Washington, from Olympia. This was a bill that was sent out to all of the states, mandating that you will pass this, and they got it dropped in their laps at the 11th hour, right at the very end of session. But see, in the Coeur d'Alene press, what they're doing is they're demonizing, lambasting Pastor Hadian and anybody who stood against this bill. And what's interesting is the tactics that they're using. Here's a rule of thumb. Should I support this or not? Because it has to do with, in principle, Senate Bill 1067 is a piece of legislation that seeks to reduce the financial burden on the Idaho taxpayer through improved enforcement of American child and family maintenance support orders, and the recovery of support remunerations from the responsive parties living in those foreign legal jurisdictions that are party to the 2007 Hague Conventions. Blah, 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 blah. What that means is, if you're living in Idaho, but you're from a different country where maybe the father is still living abroad, and you can go through this system to get child support from the guy. But see, that's not what it's all about. This representative, Luke Malik, over there in Coeur d'Alene, he says, I don't know why everybody's against this. This is just about wire transfers. No, then why doesn't it say that? Or why don't you reword it so it says that? Nope, you can't reword this. You have to pass it as is. And so they're using scare tactics and fear-mongering, accusing... This is just really interesting. Let me see if I can pull this up. This is... Well, it's sad, the tactics that they've resorted to. This is yellow journalism. The editors, who are very apparent, strong left-wing, they're saying, let's pull the plug on fear. Using fear tactics, the right wing is... to stop poor children from being able to eat. But that's not what this is about. This is about subjecting Idaho law to foreign law and quasi-governing bodies, including Sharia law. Oh, that's preposterous. Oh, you just threw that word in there, Sharia law, and that's what derailed this whole thing. You're just bringing in hate. Why is care... The Council on American Islamic Relations so interested in seeing this bill succeed? They put out on their social media, follow these bills, push these bills through, get behind these bills. We've got to get these bills passed. Why would CARE care so much? I'll tell you why. They want to bring in Sharia law. That's not hate. Those are facts. Better sit up and pay attention, folks. All right, join me tomorrow night. I'm going to make up for lost time in the podcast Sunday evening. So look forward to seeing you there. God bless you all. Have a super blessed week. Keep the prayers coming. Love you guys. This is John Jacob. Out.